And welcome to The Morning Magazine for Thursday, January 27th. I'm Sam Fuqua, in for Shannon Young. Coming up after headlines this morning, last year Colorado gave e-bikes to over 150 low-income essential workers. Hannah Lee Myers reports on the popularity of the program. And our regular Thursday feature, Radio Nibbles. John Lindorf will be in studio today to talk with Nosh Boulder, a delivery service that's helping keep local restaurants in business during the pandemic. After BBC headlines at 8:30, we missed Jim Hightower's commentary yesterday, so we'll hear from Hightower this morning. And then we talk with a long-term care consultant about the challenges facing people who are trying to find good care for loved ones during the pandemic. At 9 o'clock, it's the January installment of our monthly radio book club, a collaboration between KGNU and the Boulder Bookstore. Today, we'll hear from local author Allison Ames about her latest novel, The Covenant, a young adult horror thriller set in an abandoned mine that's been on fire for decades. Eclectic music comes your way, as always, at 9:30 on the Morning Sound Alternative. All that's still ahead, but we start with headlines from Benita Lee.
Health officials confirmed Wednesday that the first case of an Omicron subvariant has been found in Colorado. The subvariant is related genetically to Omicron. It's being called the stealth variant because it does not have the same distinguishing genetic mutation as the older Omicron. But scientists say it still shows up as positive on COVID tests. BA2, as a stealth variant is also called, has been detected in over 40 countries and is spiking in Denmark. Danish experts say the subvariant might be more easily transmissible than the current variant. They report that the number of hospitalizations are about the same, however, more breakthrough cases are possible. Colorado's state health department says getting vaccinated is still the best protection against COVID and its variants. Emergency alerts sent to Marshall Fire evacuees only reached 1 out of 5 people. This according to data released by the Boulder County Sheriff's Office at the request of the Colorado Sun. Out of over 24,000 phone calls, texts, and emails sent on December 30th, less than 5,000 people received the alerts. The data is based on whether people confirmed receiving the message by responding, such as pressing a number on their phone. The data does not include those who saw the warnings without confirming receipt. Officials acknowledged that the county's emergency notification system did not reach everyone. Messages were sent through a private service that is activated if residents opt in. Authorities say alternative methods were also used, such as social media posts and sending first responders door to door. The county expects to have a revamped system in place by spring. Democratic lawmakers want to add more protection to the current whistleblower law. KGNU's Steve Miller has more.
The lawmakers plan to introduce legislation later this week that extends whistleblower protections for Colorado workers beyond the current public health emergency law. The Denver Post reports that the current law, passed in 2020, protects employees who raise concerns about workplace violations of health and safety during a declared public health emergency. The new bill is aimed at preventing employers from discriminating or retaliating against their workers for bringing up safety concerns even if there wasn't a declared public health emergency. It would also allow employees to file related complaints to the Colorado Department of Labor and Employment. Democratic lawmakers say that the pandemic exposed many health and safety concerns, but they existed before COVID and will continue to exist after the declared emergency. The 2020 bill passed mostly along party lines, with Republicans opposing it. GOP Senator Jim Smallwell of Parker feels that the 2020 bill was not well worded. He said he agrees with protecting workers against retaliating for reporting violations, but he said the bill doesn't define what a significant workplace threat was. He also opposed the bill because 75% of the awarded whistleblower money would go to the state for enforcement. I'm Steve Miller for KGNU.
Xcel Energy has reversed its proposal to install electrical towers and power lines through a sacred Native American site. The move came after Cheyenne and Arapaho tribes told the energy provider that electrical lines would spoil the natural beauty of the area and infringe on the Sand Creek Massacre National Historic Site. Hundreds of Native Americans were killed by Colorado soldiers in the area in 1864. Tribal leaders expressed satisfaction with Xcel's response, saying the company listened to their concerns. The project, called Colorado's Power Pathway, would expand the electrical grid across the eastern plains, covering about 650 miles. Meetings between Xcel and tribe representatives are expected to continue to finalize the distance of the routes from the historical site. Over 100 environmental groups urged Agriculture Secretary Thomas Vilsack to stop a proposed plan to build an oil train railway through Utah and Colorado. The Uinta Basin Railway would cut through a Utah national forest and extend south to Gulf Coast refineries. Current daily oil extraction from the basin is 80,000 barrels. The new railway would increase fossil fuel production to 350,000 barrels a day. In a letter to Vilsack, environmentalists say the proposal goes against President Biden's executive order to tackle climate change. They contend that the railway would create 53 million tons of carbon pollution per year and say crude oil transportation would threaten wildlife habitats, pollute the Colorado River, and potentially spark wildfires in drought-stricken areas. Varying amounts of snow are likely this morning along the Front Range, with wind gusts in some areas as high as 24 miles per hour. 1 to as much as 4 inches are possible. In Boulder and Denver, highs around 24 with lows around 14. In Fort Collins, a high near 30 and a low around 5, with wind chill values as low as negative 2. Outside the Boulder studios, it's around 27 degrees. For KGNU, I'm Benita Lee.
Minutes after 8 at listener-supported KGNU, and our high country weather watcher up in Rollinsville emailed in to say it's currently 18 degrees up in Rollinsville and snowing lightly. Well, 169 low-income essential workers in Colorado are using e-bikes paid for by the state. The Can-Do Colorado e-bike pilot program appears to be a hit with participants and a positive step in the transition away from fossil fuels. KGNU's Hannah Lee Myers reports.
It seems the sound of e-bikes whizzing by is going to become increasingly familiar during commutes. Sandy Sirian, e-bike program manager at Community Cycles in Boulder, says federal data suggests e-bikes should become a more familiar means of transportation.
Over 60% of every car trip is within 6 miles of a home, and 75% of every car trip is within 10 miles of somebody's home.
And those short trips mean many of us are good candidates to replace fossil fuel vehicle trips with e-bike travel. A change a recent in-depth study found could cut urban residents' travel emissions by 67% if one car ride a day was replaced with an e-bike trip. The same study found if just 10% of the urban public would do the same, overall transportation emissions would fall by around 10%. Here enters the Can-Do Colorado e-bike program. After a successful mini pilot in the fall of 2020, in spring of 2021, the Colorado Energy Office awarded grant funding to 5 organizations, including Boulder's Community Cycles. Each organization was charged with outfitting a portion of the 156 low-income essential workers participating with new e-bikes and all the required accessories.
It's been an incredible blessing for me.
36-year-old Joshua Robinson applied for the program while experiencing homelessness. And after a few months with his e-bike, he's thrilled and has ruled out trying to buy a car altogether.
There's not a lot of situations I can think of where I would need a vehicle necessarily. Like, even with snowboarding, there's a bus that goes up there. And sometimes if I want like a little bit of extra range, I can put my bike on the bus and then ride it from there. And especially with like rates the way they are right now with cars, I don't know if you've looked at that, but like rates are crazy. I don't really see myself in the foreseeable future getting a car or needing to get a car, really.
Fellow participant Howard Trapeda agrees with Robinson that the program has had a life-altering positive effect. Even though the transition to the e-bike lifestyle can take some time and dedication.
The minute I get on my bike to leave work, I'm a little tired. And sometimes I think about taking that bus. But the minute I'm out there, I think if people just give it a shot, not 2 weeks, they give it 3 months, then they wouldn't want to do it any other way. You know, my gas money goes towards a nice bottle of wine for the weekend.
CanDo Colorado program participants have been logging their travel info on an app developed by the National Renewable Energy Laboratory. Senior program manager at the Colorado Energy Office, Sarah Thorne, has been reviewing that data. And her opinion is?
I would say overall, very successful.
Thorne says the positive results of this pilot program fit well with federal and state plans to encourage the use of e-bikes as a means of travel in the future.
So I think moving forward, you know, there are going to be a lot more programs available, and it's not just going to be us. It's going to be our neighboring states. It's going to be smaller communities, whether that's through their utility or through their local government. And that also includes, you know, infrastructure, federal dollars. All of that stuff is going to be available in the next, you know, 6 to 9 months. And I think that's really going to change what's available to people and their ability to participate in any sort of e-bike action.
President Biden's Build Back Better Act currently includes a $900 tax credit for e-bike purchases. From the state to the bike shop to the participants, there was agreement on another necessary factor to make e-bikes a successful part of the transition away from fossil fuels.
Bicycle infrastructure.
Infrastructure.
Biking infrastructure.
Like protected bike lanes, safe bike storage, robust trail systems, and e-bike compatible mounts on buses. All infrastructure that keeps bike users safe and comfortable on roads, trails, and when traveling in conjunction with public transit. Which is a must if e-bikes are going to win over commuters and coax them out of their cars. This story is part of a Rocky Mountain Community Radio reporting collaboration on fossil fuels. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, I'm Hanley Myers.
Nineteen minutes after 8 o'clock at listener-supported community radio, time for Radio Nibbles.
Have a banana, Hannah.
Cab Galloway lets us know that John Lendorf is in the building for his regular weekly food segment. Good morning, John.
Yes, Sam. I'm in the hood and glad the snow waited a little while before I got here.
Well, it's good to see you, and you have company this morning.
I do. Very special guests. With me today is Nick Graham from Nosh Delivery, and a lot of people are getting takeout these days. You probably have. And probably what you think about most is the place that you're getting the food from. But who delivers it is really important, and that whole way of doing things is changing. So welcome to KGNU, Nick.
Hey, thank you, John. Really, really excited to be here.
So give people the short version of why Nosh Delivery is different than DoorDash, Grubhub, Uber Eats, and all the other people who are trying to deliver food.
Yeah, of course. Well, Nosh Delivery is actually owned by the local restaurants of Boulder, and it's a local company where all of your staff is local to Boulder County. A lot of food delivery companies these days are national companies. They're tech companies or maybe venture investment companies, and your dollars that you spend on food delivery are going out of town to people who might not be interested in your community. Well, when you order with Nosh, it's the restaurants who own the service who are actually keeping the money and able to funnel that money back into their restaurant.
So basically, if you get something delivered that costs, I don't know, $12, like $3 of that or $4 of that goes directly to DoorDash or Grubhub.
Yeah, thank you. Absolutely. DoorDash, and I'll just say the national companies, they're known for charging restaurants a 30% commission fee, which basically means, as you said, if a customer were to order $100 from their favorite restaurant, despite the fees the customer pays, that restaurant is on the hook for $30. It's shocking, and a lot of restaurants will actually lose money on delivery orders because of that.
Right. So, and Nosh is different.
Yep, absolutely. Nosh is different. We're owned by the restaurants of Boulder County, so they take interest in what we do. They tell us what is good, what's working, what doesn't work, and we charge the lowest commission fee possible to make sure not just that they keep the money in the short term, but then they can get it back at the end of the year.
And the amount?
15%.
15%.
Absolutely.
Which is fairly standard, even, you know, even restaurants figure if they are delivering their own food, it probably costs them that much.
Sure.
You also have a different relationship. I've heard an awful lot of complaints from people who are food deliverers. Mm-hmm. How is Nosh different?
Nosh is different in the sense that every driver that we work with is met by our staff, typically me or one of my colleagues, and we're able to actually meet them, understand how they are, and make sure that they have our phone numbers, have all the information they need to be supported.
So if your dinner arrives and you got chicken curry instead of chicken pad thai, mm-hmm. With some other services, you end up calling a customer service somewhere.
Of course. People tell me you might get a call center, kind of be on hold for a couple minutes and get kicked around and eventually talk to somebody who
has to then talk to the restaurant.
Of course.
Whereas they can just call you.
Yep, absolutely. They can call me or any of our other support agents, and all of our support agents and customer service folks are local to Boulder County. Right. So when you call, if you have an issue, you know, God forbid, with an order, you're talking to somebody who's local, knows what's going on, and legitimately cares and has empathy for your order and what's going on.
What kind of restaurant, how many restaurants, well, there's Boulder restaurants that are part owners of the company, mm-hmm. and then there's restaurants that use your delivery service. How many of each are there now for Nosh?
Yeah, of course, good question. We've got 17 restaurant owners who are investors, owners of Nosh. Right. Together, I believe they represent 19 restaurants at the moment. Beyond just them, though, we've got another 60 to 80 non-investor restaurants who are partnered and happily work with us, and we work with them to deliver food.
And these range from, you were talking about the range of restaurants that Nosh delivers.
Yeah, of course. Well, I mean, we're like, lucky to be here in Boulder because Boulder has a huge range of food in the first place.
But you were saying you have the Sink on the one hand, mm-hmm. and Fresh Times on the other, which are kind of like the polar opposites of cuisine, so something for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. The Sink and Fresh Times were some of our original co-owners of the company. They actually did a lot of work to get us into Boulder, so we're thankful for them. And got restaurants like Half Ass Subs, Taj Indian Cuisine. We've got Folsom Thai. You've got kind of a whole spread of different cuisine.
So right now, there's a very cool thing with the city of Boulder, which believes in Nosh so much that they're paying for it right now, right?
Yeah, we're really fortunate. The city of Boulder has created a subsidy to help restaurants during this kind of what has turned into delivery season with the pandemic that we're going through. So the city of Boulder is actually paying for the commission fees for restaurants, which means if you're a restaurant, from now until the end of February, the service is free to be used and the city will pay for the bill. Additionally, the city is using that subsidy to pay for delivery fees for customers. So if anyone's nervous about health, just needs to stay in and get delivery, you don't need to search different websites and battle delivery fees and compare costs. City of Boulder will help you out.
So if somebody wants to order from Nosh, they go to the Nosh. Is it noshboulder.com?
Absolutely. You go to boulder.noshdelivery.co, or you can download our app on the App Store, Nosh Delivery.
Mm-hmm. So one problem that I have with takeout is the containers. Takeout creates this massive amount of generally unrecyclable trash. I'm happy that the takeout containers have improved, so the food arrives at your house in more or less the shape that the chef sent it out in. I know salt just became part of Nosh, mm-hmm. and I know Bradford Heap down there is very particular about how the food goes out, but the containers are important, and there are good ones. I understand there's a potential change coming. You just met with some folks who are doing recyclable, reusable takeout containers.
Yeah, absolutely. It's due time as well. There's a lot of container waste out there. Repeater Reusables is a company we've partnered with, and they're partnered with a handful of our restaurants where you can actually select an option, place your order with their containers, and you get your order packed in a reusable container, which you can then return to the restaurant, and there's no trash involved.
So, Nick, what's the best thing you've eaten lately?
I was lucky enough to have the lunch buffet at Taj Indian Cuisine yesterday. Baseline and Broadway. Family that runs it's really, really great to talk with, and the food's always great.
So, sog paneer, naan.
Absolutely.
Tandoori chicken.
Absolutely. Try to fill up on the naan last so you have room in your stomach.
Sam?
Oh, is there any way I could send containers to the restaurant? Like, here's my container, put my food in it? Is that not okay?
In about 1 month, we're about to get there.
Oh, not that you can send your own containers, but that you can get your food in reusable containers, and then you send the containers back.
So I misunderstood. That's great, but yeah. I thought, like, here's some Tupperware from my house. Like,
of course. Yeah, thank you, John.
There are
of
sanitation
course.
Issues.
Okay. No, I thought I'd give it a try. Anyway, so, well, thanks for coming in, Nick and John. One more time, if people want to use the service, what's the best way to connect?
Absolutely. You can download our app on the App Store. It's called Nosh Delivery. Or you can visit our website, noshdelivery.co.
And it's just in Boulder right now.
It's just in Boulder right now, although we have a sister company in Northern Colorado, and the Boulder division wants to be in Boulder County in the very near future.
But soon, the three L's, you know.
Absolutely.
Elizabeth Lafayette, yeah.
Absolutely.
All righty. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
And John, anything else on the agenda this week? Or otherwise, we'll look forward to your appearance next week.
Well, I want everyone to check out the Boulder Weekly and Printer online today. I have a wonderful interview with Kelly Kawachi, who is the head butcher at Black Belly Market. And I talked to her about how to make meat more affordable, how to get beyond the things we always order that are expensive and tasteless and discover other ways to use the whole animal. And I talk about my favorite thing, which is the pizza at Barchetta, new pizzeria in downtown Boulder.
That's in the Boulder Weekly and online at boulderweekly.com.
Absolutely.
I have to ask you, since we talked about this last Thursday, what pie did you make and consume for Pie Day?
I have this pie thing in my life as a separate issue, but
Nick doesn't know your pie obsession. Yeah,
right. Yeah. If it was me, it would just be a pie delivery service. Anyway, I made a peach pie for myself. I had some Palisade peaches, had a little bit of vanilla and nutmeg, a little bit of honey, and it was just wonderful. Reminded me of last summer.
You can hear John Lendorf every Thursday morning here on Radio Nibbles. We'll see you again soon.
Thank you.
Eat the tables, the chairs, the napkins, who cares? You gotta eat if it chokes you. Oh, do have a knish, Nisha. Ask him the latke, matke. Chili con carne for Barney. Everybody eats when they come to my house.
Well, the National Weather Service says we are to get some snow today. I'm looking outside the studios here in East Central Boulder. No snow yet. They say if it comes, it will clear up by mid-afternoon. Highs today only reaching the upper 20s. Stay tuned in the second half of the program. We have a discussion of long-term care and how to find a good caregiver. After this news update from the BBC.